from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Some shows talk about one team.
Other shows barely talk sports. This show
will talk Packers, yeah! Brewers, yeah! And Bucks.
Yeah! Every day. This show will talk sports every day.
It's Wisconsin Sports Daily
with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer
on 1250 AM The Fan.
Welcome in. It is Wisconsin Sports Daily here on 1250 AM, The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Charlie Youssef, Chicago Charlie, other side of the glass. It's going to be a fun show today. Not as guest heavy, as you would like. Maybe you don't like guests. Maybe you do. Don't know. But we do have Jeff Rieger on from The Ticket in Detroit. Formerly known as 911 Rieger back in the old 1250 days when he used to work here. But he hosts a weeknight show on The Ticket. And we're going to talk about the Lions with 2 big contract extensions today. But also kind of want to get his thoughts on where the Lions sit going into this draft. Because I've seen in a few mock drafts the Lions moving up in the draft. And then there was a report out earlier today from Daniel Jeremiah who said that of the calls that he had been on already this morning, he counted 10 teams in the NFL draft trying to move up for an offensive tackle. 10. Not 5, not 2, 10. Now, you wonder if one of those would be the Green Bay Packers involved in trying to move up for an offensive tackle. Or you wonder if that happens. If you have a bunch of teams moving up and there's a run on offensive linemen, say, you know, there's 5 or 6 or 7 offensive linemen that go in a row after your run on quarterbacks and there are a couple wide receivers, there's going to be some really good defensive talent probably still sitting there for you at 25 if you decide to go that way and wait on an offensive lineman until the second or third round or like they normally do if you go that way. I mean, you might end up with a really good edge rusher if there's that type of run before you at 25. So we'll get more into the Packers and the draft, obviously, coming up when we talk with Jeff Rieger coming up at 3:35. want to talk about Reggie Bush and the whole Heisman thing. We'll do that in about a half hour from right now. John Horst, there's been a lot of vitriol from some of you all on John Horst, Bucks GM. So we'll get into that at 4 o'clock. I talk about the Brewers at 4:35, what happened last night, what's on the docket coming ahead here. They've already lost two in Pittsburgh. So we'll talk some about the Brewers towards the end of the show. I know, Tyrese Haliburton. Y'all want to talk about Tyrese Haliburton. I know you do, but we're going to do it at 3 o'clock. We're not going to do it now. We're going to do it at 3 o'clock. I want to first start off talking about this game from last night. That's what I want to do first. And then kind of look ahead to, you know, game three a little bit. So, in the first half of that basketball game last night, it looked similar to a degree as far as what happened in the first half of game one.
The Bucks using their bench much more here in the first quarter than in game one. Dame floats it. Is there a shot he's not going to hit in this series?
I mean, look, they should just give him 5 points for high degree of difficulty on that. Fade left corner, TJ McConnell all up in his shorts.
Damian Lillard was doing crazy Damian Lillard things again. For the second game in a row, he was playing at a high level in the first half of that basketball game. Now, the rotations got jacked up a little bit earlier that game because Middleton went out with that sprained ankle or whatever. They apparently re-taped him and he came back in. But that kind of screwed up everything that probably Doc had planned for rotations. And then, obviously, you're able to reset that once you get back to the second half. Then, of course, there has been conversation that I've seen on social media. And we saw it a little bit last night during the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show, served up by Wendy's, about Malik Beasley. Where was Malik Beasley? Listen, y'all, Malik Beasley wasn't very good in the month of April. I mean, let's remember just what we're talking about here with Malik Beasley and how good he really was, because he really hasn't been that good. You're talking about shooting under 30% from the field, or from three-point land, I should say, under 40% from the field in the month of April. So he hasn't been shooting the ball well anyhow. So he goes out there, plays his 5 minutes. Doc looks at him and says, I don't like what I see. You're not going back out there. And then after the game, Doc in his press conference said that he pretty much what I just said. He didn't look good to him. He put him out there at the end. He said, hey, Malik will have some more chances. This is the playoffs. So if A.J. Green goes out there and A.J. Green shows more energy and is playing at a more higher level than Malik Beasley, then A.J. Green's going to play. And if anything, this could be good for Malik Beasley. You know, maybe this is it's like they did to Lillard, pulling him off the floor in a close game for defense. That kind of woke him up about defense. In those situations, maybe this wakes up Beasley of Doc ain't going to put up with it. Either you're going to come in and play the right way or you're not going to play. I think it's as simple as that, Charlie. Everybody can get all bent out of shape because everybody remembers Beasley, you know, drained threes all year long. He's among, you know, the all-time single-season team leaders in three-point shots. And him and Ray Allen are in the same sentence, which is crazy. Let's not do that. But either way, because he's there, he's taking so many shots. People remember the shots that he's hit throughout the season, so they want him to play. But he just hasn't been playing well. And at this point of the year, you've got to play the hot hand to a certain degree.
Yeah, and I mean, with what you're saying, with hopefully this kicks him in the butt a little bit, gets him going in future games here, I think this is kind of what Doc did when he moved him to the bench at the end of the season there. It was kind of the same tactic, was just to get him going, and it worked to some degree at that point. So hopefully this gets him going again. You know, I think I would tend to agree that A.J. Green was the higher energy guy last night.
Yep.
Their stat sheets don't look too different, but when you watch the game, A.J. Green was the guy that was putting more energy on the court.
Doc's talking last night after the game about how he was texting with A.J. Green after game one, saying, hey, man, you had open shots. Those are going to fall in game two. Just be ready. Those things are going to start falling. Didn't happen. But Doc loves A.J. Green, because he provides that energy and effort when he's out there. The same reason everybody's favorite player, Pat Connaughton, gets to play, because he's never dogging it. He's always 110% energy. That's why he gets to go out there and play. Now, this is where we get to another player that irritated me last night, and I took to social media about it. Jay Crowder. Hey, man. Look, sometimes it's just done. Sometimes it's just, it's over. Sometimes you just got to call it. And I'm sorry. Last year with Bud, Bud caught flat from Crowder because he didn't play Jay. And I said on the Green and Growing podcast, because I didn't have a show, I said on the Green and Growing podcast, man, get out of here. Bud did the right thing. Jay Crowder didn't look good at all when he started playing for the Bucks last year. He looked old. He looked slow. He didn't look right. No. So then what happens? They bring in Adrian Griffin, or they got rid of Bud, really is what happened. They got rid of Bud, and then Jay said, okay, I'll come back and play. And the Bucks, I'm sure, at that point, were begging because they gave up all those picks to get him to begin with. So fine, so Jay comes back. At the beginning of the year, Jay looked better. You're like, okay, all right, this is a little bit closer to what I remember Jay Crowder looking like. By the end of the year, you're just like, here we go. This is the same thing we were watching last year. And what irritated me last night wasn't the fact that he wasn't hitting shots, because I've come to expect that. But what irritates me is when you're on defense and, you know, you're within hand touching of your defender and the guy raises up to shoot and you don't raise a hand, you just watch him shoot over the top of you. You don't give effort to defend. That's what I said. That's it. I'm done. Like, I didn't say anything on social media while he missed his first couple of shots. But once I saw that start happening on defense, I was like, okay, you can go sit down. I'm done with that. And it was brought up on postgame show last night. Just play Jackson. Just play Andre Jackson Jr. Listen, he's going to provide energy. He's going to give you some young legs to get back in transition and help up there. Maybe he leaks out into transition and gets you some easy baskets as well. No, he's not a great shooter. But Crowder hasn't been yet lately either. So I don't mind that. It was brought up by one of our listeners last night on the postgame show. I'm okay with it. Maybe try Andre Jackson Jr. out there instead of Jay Crowder at this point. And see what happens. Will he maybe give you some stupid fouls? Probably. Yeah, young guy, he's going to give you dumb fouls. He's done it in spurts all year where you just shake your head like, dude, you got three fouls in like a minute. What are you doing? So sometimes that's going to happen. But let's just see. I've had enough of Crowder. It's only been two games, and I've already seen enough of Jay Crowder. You, Charlie, where are you at on Crowder?
100%. There's just no reason he needs to be out there. There's guys on the bench that are going to give better effort. They talked all week about how these young guys were going so hard in practice, giving these guys all they can work with during practice, and now let them show it on the court if other guys aren't going to step up.
Right. At some point, you've just got to, you know, go with what your eyes tell you. Your eyes tell you that he ain't the guy. He's just not the guy at this point. You've got to figure out something else. So this is the question. Because everybody, not everybody, 98% of the people I talk to or interact with on social media say, hey, Giannis comes back, this is going to be a totally different series. Like, it's Bucks are just going to take over, and this series is going to be done. Bucks are going to win this series. As soon as Giannis steps back on the floor, this is the Bucks series. So I want to know. I'm just curious if, you know, if you're interested in talking about this. How much does Giannis fix the Bucks' problems if and when he returns in this series? Some of you think he's going to return Friday. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. We'll see. But really, how much does Giannis fix of the Bucks' issues they have right now when he steps back on the floor? When he returns, how much of that does he fix? You know, how much better do you expect this team to look by simply putting, you know, one of the best players in the world back into this lineup? 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. How much does he fix, Charlie?
At this point, I mean, most of the problems that I saw in the game last night were because Giannis wasn't in the game. I think he fixes a lot, or at least helps with some of the holes that were in the Bucks game last night. I think he changes a lot in this series.
Okay. So let's talk about a few different things here concerning the Bucks and Giannis. Points in the paint. Go back, Charlie, and look and see what points in the paint were in the regular season when Giannis played. Because last night, the Bucks got absolutely hammered in the paint. And they didn't get hammered necessarily because, you know, somebody was getting posted up on time after time after time again. Siakam had a great game. But you also had guards going to the rim. They were beating you in transition. Transition and points in the paint have been an issue for this Bucks team all season. All season. When the Bucks played Indiana earlier this year, Giannis killed them. And it took 64 to beat them one time. And Giannis was having his way with them all those games. And they still couldn't figure out how to get over the hump against this Pacers team with Giannis on the floor during those games. Last night, without Giannis on the floor, what happened? Because this is my fault. I will take blame. I'm not going to blame Charlie on this one. I screwed this up. I literally tweeted it out. When they went to a full court press, and Bobby Portis is standing there, I don't know, 5 feet from the baseline, holding the ball over his head. He's got Lillard on one side, somebody else on the other side, both with guys defending him, and somebody defending Bobby Portis. I was like, what are we doing? And Charlie's just laughing over there because it looked like an elementary school play. Like, what are we doing? Well, what happened was Carlisle decided, well, I'm going to full court press. And I'm not going to kind of full court press. I'm going to full court press and see how y'all handle it. And I'm going to make Lillard and whoever else work to get the ball down the court. And you're going to use energy and time off the clock in order to get across the stripe. That was a new wrinkle that, you know, Carlisle hadn't shown before. And it's a good wrinkle to have when you're facing an older team. Now, can you do that with Giannis? When Giannis is out there? I don't know if you can do that when Giannis is out there. But without Giannis, they did it for a quarter and it worked. And that's how they kind of took off on the Milwaukee Bucks. I guess I am struggling after last night to say that he fixes everything. I'm struggling. And I wasn't struggling after game one. After game one, I was like, hey, man, if this keeps looking like this, you add Giannis, it's over for sure. But last night reverted back to a lot of what we saw in the regular season. A lot of the regular season issues reappeared last night in that game against Indiana. And it's not specific just to Indiana. These have been issues against all teams most of the season. There were stretches under Adrian Griffin where they couldn't out-rebound the other basketball team. When Doc got here, he made an emphasis of, we've got Giannis and others. We need to crash the boards and get the rebounds. And that improved, clearly. I'm struggling that Giannis fixes everything. Does he give them a huge weapon offensively? Yes. Does he give them another shot blocker? Yes, which, not having a backup big last night, because Giannis was on the floor, wasn't on the floor, killed him too, as far as rim protection and everything else, because Bobby Portis ain't that guy. So that was another area that could have been addressed that never was addressed. I mean, Gallinari. Might as well had Charlie out there. You'd have to get a mohawk now because Gallinari got a playoff mohawk or something. I don't know what the point of that was. But either way, so they don't have a backup big. And even their young guys, there are no bigs, right? Livingston's not a big guy. Jackson's not. They don't have any bigs even off of that bench that they could go to that's been sitting there getting reps all year that they could turn to and play at this point. All right, so the question is this. How much does Giannis fix if and when he returns for this Bucks team after what you saw last night? 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. You can also tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. Don't forget, you can also stream us on the Odyssey app, which is what my guy Big Blue in Georgia is doing right now. What's up, Big Blue?
What up, Sparky? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. How's life?
Man, it's great. It's great.
That's good.
It's definitely great. So on this, first off, Giannis coming back, it'll definitely make a complete difference, especially defensively. And they're definitely not going full court press with Giannis on the floor, because we already know if Giannis, if he gets past one person, that's basically an open look at the basket. But also with Jackson, I think Jackson needs to be on the floor. Because you're playing a younger team, you need that athleticism on the floor. Heck, I wouldn't even mind playing Westbrook as well. But definitely need him on the floor just so you
got. What are you talking about, Bochamp?
Yep.
Oh, he's never going to play. Just move on from that. Yeah, I bet you he's not even on the team next year.
Yeah, unfortunately he's not. But I mean, just for that youth, just to have that out there, Yeah, I mean, run out on some shots. You know, run out of some defenders. I mean, some shooters, something. But, yeah, Crowder, like, in spurts, yeah, but not playing more than 20 minutes a game.
You know, this is my thing with Giannis and how this whole thing looks once they get on the floor. You know, once they're out there, what's going to happen? You're going to start seeing guys changing and so forth. And Carlisle teams are usually pretty smart, and they're going to find the mismatch. So, you know, even if Giannis gets matched up, say, on Siakam, who's absolutely killed this Bucks team, even if that happens, they'll find a mismatch somewhere else to take advantage of.
Yeah, they'll try to find a mismatch, but you got to think about it, though. Also, Giannis is the ultimate mismatch. So once he's on the floor offensively, you're going to have that mismatch all over.
Right.
Because now you have nothing but shooters.
Yep. That's
so
true.
That's a big difference. I mean, if you go out, you can outscore the other team every night. It don't matter.
Right. And then you just say, to hell with the defense, let's just go outscore them. And the Pacers didn't shoot well in game one. The Pacers shoot much more closer to what they normally shoot in game two. Dame and Lopez carry the guys in the first half, shooting the three ball. And then in the second half, you know, it comes crashing down a little bit more, especially there in the fourth quarter. But you need more, I think, at this point. If it's going to be, we're going to have to outscore them, Middleton's going to have to be a consistent player in this too. Not get a couple of touches and then not see the ball for a quarter.
Right, right. Most definitely.
Yep. All right, Big Blue, take care, bud. Don't be a stranger. There he is. Big Blue checking in on the Odyssey app down in Georgia. Big Blue's been listening to this station. It has to be close to when we started in 2005, 2006. He used to be up here, and he moved down there and has always listened to the shows down there and always called in to the shows from down there in Georgia. And he's on Twitter and the whole deal. And, yeah, always a lot of fun. All right, let's take a quick time out, come back. How much do you think Giannis changes this series? How much do you think he fixes the issues the Bucks have, like points in the paint, like transition defense, transition offense? What else am I missing here? Those are the three big issues I think that I have more than anything. Guys, I don't think they're going to, you know, pick up full court press with Giannis on the floor. I don't. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe Carlisle will still do it to try and get Lillard tired. But I don't think that's going to happen. And once that does happen, once Giannis is on the floor, it is going to draw more attention to him and some attention away from Lillard. And the guy that's going to be free and clear in all this is Middleton. Because they're going to have a lot more focus on Giannis. And if Dame is hitting threes, that's where it's going to go. And I guess that Carlisle will say, if Chris Middleton beats us, we'll live with it. Chris Middleton's a former All-Star. Like we said yesterday, hey, man, wins another championship, he may be a Hall of Famer. So from that perspective, that's how deep you are in your top three where it may just turn over to Chris Middleton. Now, the man's got to stay on the floor, obviously. So we'll have to wait and see. All right. How much does Giannis fix things here? 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM. The Fan got some tweets. We'll get to those next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Spin from top of Brock Getzel. The second block for Brook Lopez tonight. You see SP takes the contact. Count it.
Push from behind, takes a hard fall. Stays down a little extra long to kind of evaluate the situation physically. But he's one tough cookie.
And Connaughton drew a flagrant on that one for getting shoved. Now, I'll be honest. In real time, it looked like he really got shoved. Then when they slow it down, it looks like he barely got touched. So I'm really not sure quite what happened there. Either way, he went flying in the air because he's a really good high jumper or whatever. But he went flying onto the baseline. But I played that highlight courtesy of Bally Sports Wisconsin, Lisa Byington, Marcus Johnson, because of the Lopez block. You know, Lopez has not been Brook necessarily a majority of the year at all times. He kept getting distracted by referees and everything else going on. It kind of took him out of his game, I feel, a little bit. Again, last night, man, when that guy starts shooting that three, that obviously helps. And especially when you're at home, it gets the crowd going. It provides some momentum. But as we talked about on the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Pro Hoops post-game show last night, served up by Wendy's, I just want to see more of him in the low block. I want to see more of him, you know, being that guy closer to the rim. When you're getting destroyed in the paint, and a guy is killing you like Siakam is, and you have a chance from time to time to get Siakam matched up on you, and a chance to go at Siakam to possibly draw a foul or whatever, and you know how good Lopez is around the rim, I don't understand for the life of me why Bud never did it and why Doc's not doing it, of why you just don't go back and go old school Brook Lopez and try and help your team either stop a run or get somebody in foul trouble. I mean, you can use this for a multitude of different things there, Charlie.
That's Giannis's job. That's kind of what it's come down to, is that
Giannis wasn't out there.
But for like the past 2 years, why Bud hasn't done it, why Jackson never did it, why Doc's not doing it, it's because Giannis was doing all that stuff. And they wanted Brook to just be cleared out of the way, and so he started shooting the threes. He actually ended up being pretty good at it, so they just left him out there. But you need somebody to fill that hole when it comes down to times like this where Giannis isn't on the court. And I think we kind of saw Bobby Portis try to do it, but he just can't.
Bobby Portis is going to shoot from wherever you give him the ball. Let's be honest. If I gave him the ball here in the parking lot in Hales Corners, he'd try to shoot it from right here and not even think about it. He wouldn't think twice. I got it. I'm going to back my way back to the rim from right here and bump my way inside. Part of the thing last night with Portis was he just couldn't get himself going. He just could not get himself going. And when he doesn't get himself going, it looks bad at times because sometimes those shots look ugly. And then Doc Rivers comes up after the game and Doc says, wanted to get Bobby going more, honestly, than we did tonight. And we got to work on that, getting him going more earlier in the game. So it wasn't, man, Bobby needs to stop shooting. It was, I wanted him to get more shots. I wanted him to be more active in the game. You know the other thing I was thinking about? How much were they running Brook and Lillard in that pick and roll? How much?
Didn't feel like that often. I mean,
I'm old. I don't remember seeing it much in that game. And in the regular season, those two ran that, and they ran it pretty well. And I don't understand. Last night, I'm driving home. You know, it was like, what was it? 1 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was. I'm driving home, and I'm like thinking of all this different stuff from the game as I'm replaying it all in my mind driving home after I get off the air doing the postgame show with Charlie. I was like, you know, I don't think I saw it that much. I don't think they really ever ran it. The other thing that I'm kind of interested in, kind of seeing how this is going to play. When Giannis comes back, again, we're assuming he's coming back, okay? When Giannis comes back, is Doc simply going to go, all right, you two, create some magic. You two, two-man game, let's go. We're going to do it. Because that's what he's wanted to do since the time he got here. Since the time he took over, he wanted those two to pretty much do what Harden and Embiid did in Philadelphia. They just ran the same thing over and over and over again and dared somebody to stop them. And I got a feeling that might be kind of what's coming next. If when Giannis comes out here, all right, Rick Carlisle, here you go. Try and stop our two-man game. The problem is those two guys haven't ran that two-man game all that effectively. Now, is it better now than it was when they started with Doc? Yes. But the biggest reason why it's not any good in general is because Adrian Griffin never thought it should have been a thing. Yet, when they traded for Damian Lillard, every single NBA analyst all said, how are you going to stop that in a pick? There's just no way. That two-man game is going to be unstoppable. You're not going to stop it. Adrian Griffin said, I don't think we need to do that. No, we can do some other stuff. We don't need to do that. And then Doc got here and said, I don't know what all has been going on, but that's going to change right now. So that part of Giannis returning will add a new scene, right? They faced this in the regular season. They got a good idea. But they haven't seen Indiana for a while with Giannis and Lillard together because the two teams haven't played since, what, January? So it's been a while. So now they come back out. They can show them a little bit of that too. And then you get Giannis and Middleton. And those two, I mean, it's Lob City, Middleton to Giannis at least once or twice a game. And that's some more offense around the rim, points in the paint that you get when Giannis returns to this thing as well. I want to circle back to how this thing started with Brook Lopez. Here's something for you, Charlie. If that's the reasoning, and I think it's very logical and it makes a lot of sense, that we're making space for Giannis to work, so Brooke, get out of the way. Totally get it. All sense of the world. But if Brooke is off the floor and it's just Giannis, do your thing. But if Giannis is off the floor and Brooke is on the floor, why not utilize it then? Why not utilize back to the basket then and then let him draw the double team and still be able to kick out to a shooter? Similar to Giannis when he gets around the rim. They collapse, find the shooter. If Brook hits two or three baskets in a row from, you know, 5 to 8 feet, eventually they're going to be like, okay, well, we can't allow this to continue to happen every time down. At some point, we're going to have to collapse. And then you get the ball to playoff Pat or to A.J. Green or to Beasley or whoever to hopefully hit a couple of corner threes to get this offense going. I just think there's a place for it in this offense that has been ignored for years. And I would love to know what Brook Lopez thinks of the whole thing because the man was one of the best around the rim in the NBA when he was with the Nets. He was one of the best. And it all changed when he got here. And it improved his game, like you said. It made him a better shooter. It made his game better in general. But he's not getting any younger, right? I mean, how many more years does Lopez have? Couple more years? I mean, big guys especially, that physical beating, he had back issues early on, right, with Milwaukee. He's not going to be here forever. Brooke, if you're listening, big man, you should go talk to Doc. You should go talk to Doc. Text Doc. Doc apparently texted everybody on the team. You should text Doc and be like, hey, man, what do you think about let me play a bit more back to the basket when Giannis is out of the game? Let me get some easy points around the rim. Let me force them to collapse and get some guys open for some shots. Why don't we, let's just see if it works. It's a seven-game series. It's 1-1. Let's just see if it works in Indiana. Because think about it. In Indiana, what's going to happen? They want momentum plays. Well, if they get a basket, and now they're all pumped up, they come down and you just drop it into Brook Lopez. Darn easy. Everybody shuts up. Versus They get a basket. We run down, jack a three within about 5 seconds of the shot clock. Ring. They come running out in transition. They score again. Now the crowd's really going nuts. That's where my concern lies. Because as Marcus Johnson pointed out on that broadcast last night, there are plays within a playoff game that create momentum and create lots of noise from the home team, right? And if you're the road team, you're trying to limit any type of those situations to keep the crowd out of it, regardless of what Tyrese Haliburton has to say about y'all. You want to keep that crowd quiet. And again, we'll talk about Haliburton at three. But that, to me, is something to consider, too. That's another added element of why Brook Lopez should be playing with his back to the basket and doing this thing. Just absolutely drives me bonkers. I'll tell you what doesn't drive me bonkers. Oh, right, that was over there on our guy Charlie's side. I'll tell you what doesn't drive me bonkers is this brand new dog food that I just got, and we started here in the last couple of weeks. My dog, Finn, who I've talked about here the last couple days, 14 years old. He's a Yorkie poo, way bigger than he's supposed to be. But had a good life. Get a little grouchy, probably like me a little bit. And, you know, you put the food, the normal food that you give them in the thing or whatever. Yeah, it really come. Now, you have some table scraps or something, some potato chips, something like that, that, you know, you're not supposed to feed dog potato chips. Potato chips or something, that Finn is right there by the TV tray in the living room waiting for you to give him some food. Then came the farmer's dog. We got this food. It gets delivered right to your porch, right? And they're in like, it's kind of like frozen, one of those like ice packs and stuff in the box to keep it all cold. And then you just unload it into your freezer. And they give you an email that said, please make room in your freezer because here comes, you know, 16 weeks of food or whatever the case may be that you order. So then you put some in there. You take a couple out. You thaw it a little bit. And then you go, you cut it open. You put it in. I'm telling you, the first time he had some of that, he was like, holy cow. And whoop. Gone. Now every time I go over there to do that, it's running to me, waiting and pushing me out of the way so he can get to it. Plus, we got some snacks too. And they're a little bit longer, so I break them up a little bit. Loves them. Absolutely loves them. Other snacks, now he just kind of pushes them around with his nose and walks away, unless they're the good snacks from the farmer's dog. I'm serious, man. I'm not messing around. This is it. This is the stuff. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. Let the farmer's dog know we sent you. Click radio after you sign up for your first box. Tell you. Makes all the sense in the world. King in Waukesha, you're next here on Wisconsin Sports Daily. King, what's Giannis going to fix when he returns?
Well, hopefully he can at least, you know, help with the rebounding because, like, there is abjectly terrible down there. My thing is with the pick and roll, see, the reason why I won't work with Damian Lillard is because his instinct is not to crash to the hole. He's a shooter. He's got a shooter's instinct. The second logic is that Giannis, you know, because of his free throw shooting, you know, that may not be as effective as well. The third thing is when Brook Lopez is on the floor and the mother two is out, you know, Brook is running around setting screens on the perimeter, you know, so to free up them shooters. So that negates him, you know, for being around the offensive hole. But I do agree in a sense of, like, bring back the Brook Lopez that we saw in Brooklyn. Because, you know, you're right. The guy's got a lot of offensive skill set down there. Why the Bucks didn't utilize that? And then if you want to make Chris Middleton more effective, why not run a pick and roll with Middleton and Lopez?
No, that makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. I'm with you. Your name's not really Ken, and you're not really a Knicks fan, are you?
Of course I am. I'm from Brooklyn.
Yeah, I knew it. I saw King, and as soon as I heard your voice, I was like, man, this is not the same. This is the same Knicks fan I've been dealing with. I know what I'm talking. I know who you are. You're not going to hide from me. You can change your name six times. I'm on to you. I got you. Call back again, man. Take care. Have a good one. Yeah, I mean, Middleton and Brook Lopez, I'm good with that. I'm fine with that. Now, again, he goes and knocks on Dame because he doesn't think Dame passes the ball enough and so forth, shooter mentality. And that very well may be. I don't tend to... See, I don't want to knock on Giannis. I look at that Dame and Giannis thing, and I question whether or not Giannis knows what the right decision to be made is in those situations. To me, when I watch it, it looks like Giannis is the one that's hesitant a lot of times in what he's supposed to be doing or what Dame wants him to do in certain situations when they're playing. That's what it looks like to me. You know, more knowledgeable basketball fans like yourselves probably will tell me I'm nuts, but when I'm watching on TV, to me, Giannis looks like the one that's hesitant in those situations. Dame doesn't ever really hesitate. He just goes. He makes up his mind and he's going to make his decision and go. Giannis doesn't always know, should I go this way? Should I roll this way? Should I come back this way? And there's always just seems to be that little of him and Giannis kind of looking at each other, trying to figure out what they want to do when they're out there on the basketball court. Giannis really not trusting Giannis, I guess. Not really trusting his own instincts sometimes in different situations. All right, take a quick time out. I'm going to switch gears here on the Bucks, because some news came out earlier today on one Reggie Bush and the Heisman Trophy. I'm sure y'all have heard about it. I'm not a big fan. No, I'm not. Not really a big fan of the whole decision. I'll tell you why. Coming up next, Wisconsin Sports Daily, here on The Fan. Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM. The Fan, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Follow us on Twitter at 1250 AM. The Fan. Our guy, Chicago Charlie Husen over there. Charlie, we have not promoted your Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to call it Twitter, I think, until the day I die. But either way, Charlie, how do people find you on Twitter?
It's just my name, Charlie Husen. Husen spelled U, C as in cat, Z as in zebra, E-N.
There you go. And then you can interact with him and make fun of him when the Cubs lose or the Bears lose, or make fun of him over the Bears press conference, which we're going to have to touch at some point today because that whole circus down there was something. Only in Chicago do you get what happened at that press conference. But we'll get to that a little bit loud later. I want to talk about this Reggie Bush thing. So Pete Thamel was the one that broke this earlier today. So Reggie Bush, remember, was stripped of his Heisman. USC also got in all kinds of trouble as well because of this whole thing. And USC was forced to vacate the final two wins of its 2004 national title season, all of its wins in 2005. USC also suffered major scholarship reductions and a two-year postseason ban. The 2004 Trojans were ultimately stripped of the national championship by the FWAA and the BCS. The Associated Press still recognizes USC most relevant. The Heisman Trust ultimately decided to take the award back, marking the first time in the history of the award that the trophy was returned. Now, if you don't remember why he was stripped, in 2007, agent Lloyd Lake put a name to the allegations because there were reports of illegal cash and benefits from agents began to surface. Among them were allegations that Bush's parents lived rent-free in a house paid for by an agent. Well, Lloyd Lake sued Reggie Bush and his family for nearly $300,000. Lake claimed that the family accepted cash and living arrangements between November of 2004 and January of 2006. He agreed to cooperate with NCAA investigators regarding the matter. Lake settled with Bush in 2010, notably, Bush did not sign with Lake's agency. You don't say. I mean, clearly. Obviously, that's why the guy was all hacked off if he spent all that money and so forth. Okay, so while Bush was the biggest headliner in this whole deal, basketball star O.J. Mayo was also investigated. In 2010, USC was hit with a lack of institutional control citation regarding Mayo and Bush, resulting in massive punishments, which obviously I already told you about. Now, as we move on here, in comes the NIL deal. And with the NIL deal, name, image, likeness, now you can pay kids. Right? No big deal. Everybody gets some. The NCAA had alleged that Bush partook in a pay-for-play and was therefore not under consideration to get his award back. Bush ultimately filed a defamation lawsuit against the NCAA surrounding that allegation. The Heisman Trust was previously adamant that it would only award Bush his Heisman once his NCAA records were reinstated. Pressure has continued to build since the NIL rules were instituted in 2021. USC publicly embraced Bush and softly pushed for the return of his award. And then somehow or another, Johnny Manziel found his way into this story about boycotting going to the Heisman Trophy ceremony. Don't go. Nobody's going to miss you. Who cares? Like, why is he in all these stories? Like, the story I'm reading here is off CBS Sports. But he's in all of them. Like, that was a whole big thing. Who cares if Johnny Manziel does not go to the Heisman Trophy presentation? Who is it really going to affect? Okay. So now, today with this Heisman Trust, Reggie Bush gets his stuff back. And the reason they say what they say is because of how the landscape of college sports has changed. We're going to give it back to him. Okay. So this is my question. Because everybody's kumbaya about Reggie Bush today. Everybody. Oh, I'm so happy for Reggie Bush. You got his Heisman back. Oh, it's so great. Oh, wonderful. But this is the thing. If he broke the rules and they took the Heisman for taking improper benefits, and if him and this agent settled, I'm guessing the agent didn't settle for no money. I'm guessing he got some back of whatever it was. Okay? So, he broke the rules, according to all reports. Many of you thought, who cares? I remember this. When this all went down, Charlie, this is what I heard from a lot of people. Ah, they're all cheating, Sparky. Who cares? All these kids are getting money under the table. They're getting cars. They're getting stuff for their moms. This is nothing, nothing, no big deal. Just you're overreacting, getting mad about this. Everybody's getting something. That's what I was told. Okay? And I fought with people. We did this whole thing. Now, here we go. Fast forward. Now it's all legal, which you all said was going on before. Probably was. Either way, the rules were that you couldn't. And apparently, he did something. May not have been $300,000 worth, but there was something obviously going on. So, this is my perspective. If the Heisman Trust is going to give him the Heisman back, every other university that has lost championships or other things because of this, didn't the Fab Five, didn't they go down? Mm-hmm. Jalen Rose, C-Web, all these guys, they should all be like, hey, we want our banner back up. Restore all of our numbers. If that's what this is. Now, again, if it's academic, that's totally different, right? Like, you faked an SAT score or you were cheating in a test and there was some type of academic scandal around somebody. Fine. But to my best of my knowledge, I've never heard of anybody getting a champion.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Spin from top of Brock Getzel. The second block for Brook Lopez tonight. You see at speed. Push. Takes the contact. Count it.
Push from behind. Takes a hard fall. Stays down a little extra long to kind of evaluate the situation physically. But he's one tough cookie.
And kind of drew a flagrant on that one for getting shoved. Now, I'll be honest. In real time, it looked like he really got shoved. Then when they slow it down, it looks like he barely got touched. So I'm really not sure quite what happened there. Either way, he went flying in the air because he's a really good high jumper or whatever. But he went flying onto the baseline. But I played that highlight courtesy of Bally Sports Wisconsin, Lisa Byington, Marcus Johnson, because of the Lopez block. You know, Lopez has not been Brooke necessarily a majority of the year at all times. He kept getting distracted by referees and everything else going on. It kind of took him out of his game, I feel, a little bit. And again last night, man, when that guy starts shooting that three, that obviously helps. And especially when you're at home, it gets the crowd going. It provides some momentum. But as we talked about on the Potawatomi Sportsbook Pro Hoops postgame show last night, served up by Wendy's, I just want to see more of him in the low block. I want to see more of him, you know, being that guy closer to the rim. When you're getting destroyed in the paint and a guy is killing you like Siakam is, and you have a chance from time to time to get Siakam matched up on you and a chance to go at Siakam to possibly draw a foul or whatever, and you know how good Lopez is around the rim, I don't understand for the life of me why Bud never did it and why Doc's not doing it, of why you just don't go back and go old school Brook Lopez and try and help your team either stop a run or get somebody in foul trouble. I mean, you can use this for a multitude of different things there, Charlie.
That's Giannis's job. That's kind of what it's come down to, is that
Giannis wasn't out there.
But for like the past 2 years, why Bud hasn't done it, why Jackson never did it, why Doc's not doing it, it's because Giannis was doing all that stuff. And they wanted Brook to just be cleared out of the way, and so he started shooting the threes. He actually ended up being pretty good at it, so they just left him out there. But you need somebody to fill that hole when it comes down to times like this where Giannis isn't on the court. And I think we kind of saw Bobby Portis try to do it, but he just can't.
Bobby Portis is going to shoot from wherever you give him the ball. Let's be honest. If I gave him the ball here in the parking lot in Hales Corners, he tried shooting from right here and not even think about it. He wouldn't think twice. I got it. I'm going to back my way back to the rim from right here and bump my way inside. The part of the thing last night with Portis was he just couldn't get himself going. He just could not get himself going. And when he doesn't get himself going, it looks bad at times because sometimes those shots look ugly. And then Doc Rivers comes up after the game and Doc says, wanted to get Bobby going more, honestly, than we did tonight. And we got to work on that, getting him going more earlier in the game. So it wasn't, man, Bobby needs to stop shooting. It was, I wanted him to get more shots. I wanted him to be more active in the game. You know the other thing I was thinking about? How much were they running Brook and Lillard in that pick and roll? How much?
Didn't feel like that often. I mean,
I'm old. I don't remember seeing it much in that game. And in the regular season, those two ran that, and they ran it pretty well. And I don't understand. Last night, I'm driving home. You know, it was like, what was it? 1 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was. I'm driving home, and I'm like thinking of all this different stuff from the game as I'm replaying it all in my mind driving home after I get off the air doing the postgame show with Charlie. I was like, you know, I don't think I saw it that much. I don't think they really ever ran it. The other thing that I'm kind of interested in, kind of seeing how this is going to play, when Giannis comes back, again, we're assuming he's coming back, okay? When Giannis comes back, Is Doc simply going to go, all right, you two, create some magic. You two, two-man game, let's go. We're going to do it. Because that's what he's wanted to do since the time he got here. Since the time he took over, he wanted those two to pretty much do what Harden and Embiid did in Philadelphia. They just ran the same thing over and over and over again and dared somebody to stop them. And I got a feeling that might be kind of what's coming next. If what Giannis comes out here, all right, Rick Carlisle, here you go. Try and stop our two-man game. The problem is those two guys haven't ran that two-man game all that effectively. Now, is it better now than it was when they started with Doc? Yes. But the biggest reason why it's not any good in general is because Adrian Griffin never thought it should have been a thing. Yet, when they traded for Damian Lillard, every single NBA analyst all said, how are you going to stop that in a pick? There's just no way. That two-man game is going to be unstoppable. You're not going to stop it. Adrian Griffin said, I don't think we need to do that. No, we can do some other stuff. We don't need to do that. And then Doc got here and said, I don't know what all has been going on, but that's going to change right now. So that part of Giannis returning will add a new scene, right? They faced this in the regular season. They got a good idea. But they haven't seen Indiana for a while with Giannis and Lillard together because the two teams haven't played since, what, January? So it's been a while. So now they come back out. They can show them a little bit of that, too. And then you get Giannis and Middleton. And those two, I mean, it's Lob City, Middleton to Giannis, at least once or twice a game. And that's some more offense around the rim, points in the paint that you get when Giannis returns to this thing as well. I want to circle back to how this thing started with Brooke Lopez. Here's something for you, Charlie. If that's the reasoning, and I think it's very logical and it makes a lot of sense, that we're making space for Giannis to work, so Brooke, get out of the way. Totally get it. All sense of the world. But if Brooke is off the floor and it's just Giannis, do your thing. But if Giannis is off the floor and Brooke is on the floor, why not utilize it then? Why not utilize back to the basket then and then let him draw the double team and still be able to kick out to a shooter? Similar to Giannis when he gets around the rim. They collapse, find the shooter. If Brooke hits two or three baskets in a row from, 5 to 8 feet, eventually they're going to be like, okay, well, we can't allow this to continue to happen every time down. At some point, we're going to have to collapse. And then you get the ball to playoff Pat or to AJ Green or to Beasley or whoever to hopefully hit a couple of corner threes to get this offense going. I just think there's a place for it in this offense that has been ignored for years. And I would love to know what Brooke Lopez thinks of the whole thing because the man was one of the best around the rim in the NBA when he was with the Nets. He was one of the best. And it all changed when he got here. And it improved his game, like you said. It made him a better shooter. It made his game better in general. But he's not getting any younger, right? I mean, how many more years does Lopez have? Couple more years? I mean, big guys especially, that physical beating, he had back issues early on, right, with Milwaukee. He's not going to be here forever. Brooke, if you're listening, big man, you should go talk to Doc. You should go talk to Doc. Text Doc. Doc apparently texted everybody on the team. You should text Doc and be like, hey, man, what do you think about let me play a bit more back to the basket when Giannis is out of the game? Let me get some easy points around the rim. Let me force them to collapse and get some guys open for some shots. Why don't we, let's just see if it works. It's a seven-game series. It's 1-1. Let's just see if it works in Indiana. Because think about it. In Indiana, what's going to happen? They want momentum plays. Well, if they get a basket, and now they're all pumped up, they come down, and you just drop it into Brooke Lopez, turn easy, everybody shuts up. Versus, they get a basket, we run down, jack a three within about 5 seconds of the shot clock, ring, they come running out in transition, they score again, now the crowd's really going nuts. That's where my concern lies. Because as Marcus Johnson pointed out on that broadcast last night, there are plays within a playoff game that create momentum and create lots of noise from the home team, right? And if you're the road team, you're trying to limit any type of those situations to keep the crowd out of it, regardless of what Tyrese Haliburton has to say about y'all. You want to keep that crowd quiet. And again, we'll talk about Haliburton at three. But that, to me, is something to consider, too. That's another added element of why Brooke Lopez should be playing with his back to the basket and doing this thing. Just absolutely drives me bonkers. I'll tell you what doesn't drive me bonkers. Oh, right, that was over there on I got Charlie's side. I'll tell you what doesn't drive me bonkers is this brand new dog food that I just got, and we started here in the last couple of weeks. My dog Finn, who I've talked about here the last couple of days, 14 years old. He's a Yorkie poo, way bigger than he's supposed to be. But had a good life. Get a little grouchy, probably like me a little bit. And, you know, you put the food, the normal food you give them in the thing or whatever. Yeah, it really come. Now, you have some table scraps or something, some potato chips, something like that, that, you know, you're not supposed to feed dog potato chips or something. Then Finn is right there by the TV tray in the living room waiting for you to give him some food. Then came the farmer's dog. We got this food. It gets delivered right to your porch, right? And they're in like, it's kind of like frozen, one of those like ice packs and stuff in the box to keep it all cold. And then you just unload it into your freezer. And they give you an email that said, please make room in your freezer because here comes, you know, 16 weeks of food or whatever the case may be that you order. So then you put some in there. You take a couple out. You thaw it a little bit. And then you go, you cut it open. You put it in. I'm telling you, the first time he had some of that, he was like, holy cow. And whoop, gone. Now every time I go over there to do that, it's running to me, waiting and pushing me out of the way so he can get to it. Plus, we got some snacks too. And they're a little bit longer, so I break them up a little bit. Loves them. Absolutely loves them. Other snacks, now he just kind of pushes them around with his nose and walks away, unless they're the good snacks from the farmer's dog. I'm serious, man. I'm not messing around. This is it. This is the stuff. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. Let the farmer's dog know we sent you. Click radio after you sign up for your first box. Tell you. Makes all the sense in the world. King in Waukesha, you're next here on Wisconsin Sports Daily. King, what's Giannis going to fix when he returns?
Well, hopefully he can at least, you know, help with the rebounding because, like, there is abjectly terrible down there. My thing is with the pick and roll, see, the reason why I won't work with Damian Lillard is because his instinct is not to crash to the hole. He's a shooter. He's got a shooter's instinct. The second logic is that Giannis, you know, he had, because of his free throw shooting, you know, that may not be as effective as well. The third thing is when Brooke Lopez is on the floor and the mother shoe is out, you know, Brooke is running around setting screens on the perimeter, you know, so to free up them shooters. So that negates him, you know, for being around the offensive hole. But I do agree in a sense of, like, bring back the Brooke Lopez that we saw in Brooklyn. Because, you know, you're right. The guy's got a lot of offensive skill set down there. Why the Bucks didn't utilize that? And then if you want to make Chris Middleton more effective, why not run a pick and roll with Middleton and Lopez?
No, that makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. I'm with you. Your name's not really Ken, and you're not really a Knicks fan, are you?
Of course I am. I'm from Brooklyn.
Yeah, I knew it. I saw King, and as soon as I heard your voice, I was like, man, this is not the same. This is the same Knicks fan I've been dealing with. I know what I'm talking. I know who you are. You're not going to hide from me. You can change your name six times. I'm on to you. I got you. Call back again, man. Take care. Have a good one. Yeah, I mean, Middleton and Brooke Lopez, I'm good with that. I'm fine with that. Now, again, he goes and knocks on Dame because he doesn't think Dame passes the ball enough and so forth. Shooter mentality. And that very well may be. I don't tend to... See, I don't want to knock on Giannis. I look at that Dame and Giannis thing, and I question whether or not Giannis knows what the right decision to be made is in those situations. To me, when I watch it, it looks like Giannis is the one that's hesitant a lot of times in what he's supposed to be doing or what Dame wants him to do in certain situations when they're playing. That's what it looks like to me. You know, more knowledgeable basketball fans like yourselves probably will tell me I'm nuts, but when I'm watching on TV, to me, Giannis looks like the one that's hesitant in those situations. Dame doesn't ever really hesitate. He just goes. He makes up his mind and he's going to make his decision and go. Giannis doesn't always know. Should I go this way? Should I roll this way? Should I come back this way? And there's always just seems to be that little of him and Giannis kind of looking at each other, trying to figure out what they want to do when they're out there on the basketball court. Giannis really not trusting Giannis, I guess, not really trusting his own instincts sometimes in different situations. All right, take a quick time out. I'll switch gears here on the Bucks because some news came out earlier today on one Reggie Bush. and the Heisman Trophy. I'm sure y'all have heard about it. I'm not a big fan. No, I'm not. Not really a big fan of the whole decision. I'll tell you why. Coming up next, Wisconsin Sports Daily, here on The Fan. Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM. The Fan, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Follow us on Twitter at 1250 AM. The Fan. Our guy, Chicago Charlie, Charlie Huzin over there. Charlie, we have not promoted your Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to call it Twitter, I think, until the day I die. But either way, Charlie, how do we people find you on Twitter?
It's just my name, Charlie Huzin. Huzin spelled U, C as in cat, Z as in zebra, E-N.
There you go. And then you can interact with him and make fun of him when the Cubs lose or the Bears lose, or make fun of him over the Bears press conference, which we're going to have to touch at some point today because that whole circus down there was something. Only in Chicago do you get what happened at that press conference. But we'll get to that a little bit loud later. I want to talk about this Reggie Bush thing. So Pete Thamel was the one that broke this earlier today. So Reggie Bush, remember, was stripped of his Heisman. USC also got in all kinds of trouble as well because of this whole thing. And USC was forced to vacate the final two wins of its 2004 national title season, all of its wins in 2005. USC also suffered major scholarship reductions and a two-year postseason ban. The 2004 Trojans were ultimately stripped of the national championship by the FWAA and the BCS. The Associated Press still recognizes USC most relevant. The Heisman Trust ultimately decided to take the award back, marking the first time in the history of the award that the trophy was returned. Now, if you don't remember why he was stripped, in 2007, agent Lloyd Lake put a name to the allegations because there were reports of illegal cash and benefits from agents began to surface. Among them were allegations that Bush's parents lived rent-free in a house paid for by an agent. Well, Lloyd Lake sued Reggie Bush and his family for nearly $300,000. Lake claimed that the family accepted cash and living arrangements between November of 2004 and January of 2006. He agreed to cooperate with NCAA investigators regarding the matter. Lake settled with Bush in 2010, notably, Bush did not sign with Lake's agency. You don't say. I mean, clearly, obviously, that's why the guy was all hacked off if he spent all that money and so forth. Okay, so while Bush was the biggest headliner in this whole deal, basketball star O.J. Mayo was also investigated. In 2010, USC was hit with a lack of institutional control. Citation regarding Mayo and Bush resulting in massive punishments, which obviously I already told you about. Now, as we move on here, in comes the NIL deal. And with the NIL deal, name, image, likeness, now you can pay kids, right? No big deal. Everybody gets some. The NCAA had alleged that Bush partook in a pay-for-play and was therefore not under consideration to get his award back. Bush ultimately filed a defamation lawsuit against the NCAA surrounding that allegation. The Heisman Trust was previously adamant that it would only award Bush his Heisman once his NCAA records were reinstated. Pressure has continued to build since the NIL rules were instituted in 2021. USC publicly embraced Bush and softly pushed for the return of his award. And then somehow or another, Johnny Manziel found his way into this story about boycotting going to the Heisman Trophy ceremony. Don't go. Nobody's going to miss you. Who cares? Like, why is he in all these stories? Like, the story I'm reading here is off CBS Sports. Well, but he's in all of them. Like, that was a whole big thing. Who cares if Johnny Manziel does not go to the Heisman Trophy presentation? Who is it really going to affect? Okay. So now, today with this Heisman Trust, Reggie Bush gets his stuff back. And the reason they say what they say is because of how the landscape of college sports has changed. We're going to give it back to him. Okay, so this is my question. Because everybody's kumbaya about Reggie Bush today. Everybody, oh, I'm so happy for Reggie Bush. He got his Heisman back. Oh, it's so great. Oh, wonderful. But this is the thing. If he broke the rules and they took the Heisman for taking improper benefits, and if him and this agent settled. I'm guessing the agent didn't settle for no money. I'm guessing he got some back of whatever it was. Okay? So, he broke the rules, according to all reports. Many of you thought, who cares? I remember this. When this all went down, Charlie, this is what I heard from a lot of people. Ah, they're all cheated, Sparky. Who cares? All these kids are getting money under the table. They're getting cars. They're getting stuff for their moms. This is nothing, nothing, no big deal. Just you're overreacting, getting mad about this. Everybody's getting something. That's what I was told. Okay? And I fought with people. We did this whole thing. Now, here we go. Fast forward. Now it's all legal, which you all said was going on before. Probably was. Either way, the rules were that you couldn't. And apparently, he did something. May not have been $300,000 worth, but there was something obviously going on. So, this is my perspective. If the Heisman Trust is going to give him the Heisman back, every other university that has lost championships or other things because of this, didn't the Fab Five, didn't they go down? Mm-hmm. Jalen Rose, C-Web, all these guys, they should all be like, hey, we want our banner back up. Restore all of our numbers. If that's what this is. Now, again, if it's academic, that's totally different, right? Like, you faked an SAT score or you were cheating in a test and there's some type of academic scandal around somebody, fine. But to my best of my knowledge, I've never heard of anybody getting a championship pulled because of academic reasons. So, push that aside. But if it's money, if it's, hey, man, so-and-so got so much money, and so-and-so got so much money, and now you don't have a national championship, and now you're vacating two years of winning. If that's what it is, reinstate all of them. Have you ever in your life, younger people, there's no way you know this, but I'm asking the older people who are older than me, because I'm 47, and I certainly don't remember this. Have you ever in your life ever heard of somebody who was penalized essentially getting back what they were penalized for because a rule changed or something changed later in life, and then the sport or whatever went back to that person and said, well, since it changed 20 years later, now we made a mistake 20 years ago when a rule was in place, that's no longer, and we're going to give you an award back. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life today. It is. Because now you essentially have to go back and give everybody their stuff back. And the NCAA is going to say, that wasn't us. We didn't do anything. That was the Heisman Trust. They're their own entity. They're not with us. So they give the Heisman back. We don't have to give anything back. We're not restoring his numbers. We're not doing any of that stuff. But he's got his handy-dandy little trophy. He's happy. Great. He's officially back on the Heisman Trophy list. So there's a Heisman Trophy winner every year. There's no break in the list, which was a big deal with all these college football enthusiasts. Guys, you cannot do that. And I was trying all morning to think of a scenario of, like, how in real life would this possibly apply to somebody? And there's nothing. Like, okay, when I was 10, robbery was illegal. Now that I'm 45, they've said that you can steal certain items and it's okay. So you get to leave prison and get out of jail for free because now it's legal even though you did it 30 years ago. That's ridiculous. A, that rule, obviously that law is never changing. But I can't come up in my mind with anything. The only thing I could come up with was Pete Rose, where gambling is clearly illegal. And you're banned for life and banned from the Hall of Fame and the whole deal for gambling. And if Major League Baseball came out and said, listen, it's out of control. There's no way for us to monitor this. Too many guys are doing it. If y'all want to gamble, go ahead. And then turn to Pete Rose and say, we know this happened back in like the 70s or whatever. But now that we're allowing it here in 2024, we're going to put you in the Hall of Fame. Even though you broke a rule back then and were defiant about it the whole entire time, now that it's legal in baseball, it's not as big of a deal. Go into the Hall of Fame. Does that make any sense to you? I'm trying to wrap my head around this.
No. I mean, at the same time, that it doesn't really make sense. I get your point about, you know, you have to keep your morals on something, and flipping like that just kind of goes,
if it was a rule that and you broke it, you don't get to. Years later, they changed the rule. Now he gets it. I don't get it. Exactly. Go ahead. Sorry to cut you off. Go.
It's all good. I just feel like at this point, everybody was still considering him a Heisman winner, even though he wasn't on the list. And, like, this is all just arbitrary. Like, this is all just stupid
Absolutely.
Stuff to go into the news.
People that lived through it and watched it remember how good the dude was. Dude was special. In fact, that year he came out in the draft, there was talk of it that morning, I believe it was, about the Packers possibly having thoughts of Reggie Bush and moving possibly up. That they took A.J. Hawk that year. But there was talk about possibly moving up for Reggie Bush, and obviously that didn't happen. Then years later, we find out that Vince Young was another guy that they had interest in as well in that same draft. And again, A.J. Hawk turned out to be a fine player, led the team in tackles, did the whole thing, solid, great. Was he worth the pick that they made him at? Probably not. I wanted Vernon Davis. And I think you could argue A.J. Hawk had a better career than Vernon Davis did. You know, the tight end for the Niners, who him and Singletary went at it in that whole deal. But I wanted Vernon Davis that year. They took A.J. Hawk. And now, look, he's got a great career with Pat McAfee. Sits there, drinks alcohol, smokes cigars, says like five words a show, and he's set. I mean, there's not a better gig right now in media than the gig A.J. Hawk has. That is by far the single best media gig there is in this country, is A.J. Hawk on the Pat McAfee Show. That is such a great job. I'm sure he gets paid well. I'm sure McAfee's taking care of him to have him. So, yeah, if you could find that job, by all means, go get that job. No question. All right, so just got a text. David Hall from the 670 The Score at Chicago. He thinks he could be good to go at 4:35. I want to talk to him about Bears, the draft, but now since his press conference happened, now I don't see how we don't talk about the press conference as well involving the Bears' new stadium. So I believe we have David Haw at 4:35. We have Jeff Rieger at 3:35 talking about the Lions and their draft and their two big contract extensions today as well. So the show is picking up some steam here. All right, coming up next, here is your opportunity to talk about Tyrese Halliburton. I said 3 o'clock coming up. This is simple. Now, I will tell you, behind the curtains, a lot of radio people hate what other radio people do, what we're about to do. Don't like it at all. They think it's a horrible idea. They don't like how it plays. But I don't care. I'm going to do it anyhow. Really nice and simple. When we say Tyrese Halliburton, you say 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM, The Fan. If you don't understand what we are talking about, we will definitely play Mr. Halliburton last night talking about the fans at Fiserv. Now, what I'm not going to talk about and get into necessarily, because it's very murky. I'm trying to run down, and I'm trying to get some help on this, trying to run down the reporter from the Indianapolis Star that said that according to his league sources, the person who allegedly called Tyrese Halliburton's brother the N-word never got kicked out of the game by security. He got to stay, or she, I guess they never really specified was it he or she, but whoever the person was got to stay even after that happened. And I haven't seen or heard any reports of anybody in that area that heard the conversation. And normally, if it gets loud and verbal and derogatory or whatever, normally people come out of the woodwork on social media like, I can't believe that dude just said that to Halliburton's brother, whatever. I really haven't seen a lot of that one way or the other. Now, I'll say this. You just can't be doing that stuff, man. I mean, you know that. I know that. You can't be doing that stuff. Regardless, you can't be doing it. And so I don't really want to go down that pathway because there's really just not a lot out there. We have Halliburton talking about what his brother said got told to him, but we don't have much else other than that. Other than Indianapolis Star writer say his sources say they did tell security and security did nothing about it. That's all we got. I haven't seen a statement from the Bucks. I haven't checked my email here since we got on the air, but as of an hour ago, I didn't see anything from the Bucks as far as concerning this matter, what all went down. So I don't really want to go diving deep into that until we learn more about that situation. I want to strictly stick to Halliburton, the basketball player, and Halliburton talking about you all, the fan base in Milwaukee at Fiserv Forum. That's what I want to stick to. So when we say Tyrese Halliburton, you say fill in the blank. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM, The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.